What's up, guys? This is episode 16 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle, and we're here at the National City Swap Meet. I'm joined by
Xavier Bundem,
Benjamin Tizapaneco,
and today we have somebody that I actually, I think, pretty much influenced into becoming a part of the San Diego toy community, because I don't think he was too aware of it, but we'll let him speak for himself and give the story.
This is Juan Bravo.
We start off with like your childhood and stuff, and then we'll get on to like when we met each other and stuff.
I started out collecting comic books.
How old were you?
I was like in sixth grade.
Sixth grade?
So what I used to do was I used to actually go to an elementary school, which I took a bus, and the school bus used to drop me off, and I would keep my lunch money, and I would get dropped off, and then I would run a few blocks across the highway to the comic book shop, and I would buy comics, and then run back home before my mom even knew that I was getting home late. So it first started out with comic books, and I still remember the first one I bought was actually an Avengers comic, and I actually still have that to this day. So I have a series of comics that I kept as a kid, and I've used to have a lot of pulls, and I used to go to different shops back in the day that we used to have, like in Imperial Beach. We had them in San Diego and Chula Vista. I remember, and I think the first one I went to was Book Rack, is what it was called. I think there was also, I believe it was Comic Castle in Chula Vista. And I used to go, and I just really loved buying comic books and reading them. So that was all really I could afford at that time. And, you know, I couldn't really buy, like, any toys or get into anything else. But as I grew older, well, obviously, you know, everyone starts working. And as we grow up, I was able to start afford to, you know, buy some toys here and there. But still, my love was, you know, to buy comic books. Ghost Rider and Thor. I mean, there was a lot of great things that I would buy and read. So in addition to that, as I was getting older, obviously I got married. I sold off a big portion of my comic books, which helped for a down payment for where I was living at. It hurt, but you know what? Hey, sometimes we have to move forward. I ended up buying more comics after, had kids. I bought toys, and which was obviously Star Wars. I started going to Comic-Con, and just kept buying. So I ended up buying so many toys. I had two sons. I couldn't just buy for one. I had to buy for the other.
And then for yourself?
And then for myself, you know. So what I used to do was just during the week, I'd stop off at Target. I'd stop off at Toys R Us, a couple different places, and I would just buy and buy and buy. So what happened was I ended up accumulating so many toys that it was just, I couldn't believe how many we had. To this day, we still have a pretty good sized collection. At this time, I was living in Valley Center, and we had to move to South Bay. So when I took everything out, we had to end up...
That's kind of like when I met you, no?
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about this.
So I ended up moving back down here, and I ended up selling off some of my stuff. And also, at that point in time, there was a couple things I couldn't find. And actually, I was looking for a Thrawn figure. And that's how I actually met Eduardo.
That's how I met him.
So I ended up going down with my son, and we ended up getting Thrawn. And that's how we ended up talking. And kind of like what I was just talking about, we ended up doing that.
What's up, guys? This is episode 16 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. And we're here at the National City Swap Meet. I'm joined by
Xavier Bundem,
Benjamin Tizapaneco,
and today we have somebody that I actually, I think, pretty much influenced into becoming a part of the San Diego toy community, because I don't think he was too aware of it, but we'll let him speak for himself and give the story.
This is Juan Bravo. What we did was we ended up talking, and one thing led to another, and he talked to me about there was a VFW show. So I couldn't get in at that time. Don already had everything filled up, so I just kind of went to go check it out, and all right, I thought it was pretty cool. So I was able to get into the next show, and so I came into the next show and I brought in my stuff, and you know, it's been pretty awesome since then.
Met a lot of people.
Met a lot of different people, a lot of people, you know, that love the same thing that I do, the same passion. There's a lot of people have the same stories of, you know, growing up. I think one of the best things really is that you actually had physically that comic book in your hand, not like an iPad or something that's digital that doesn't have that nostalgia, doesn't have that true feeling, which it had to me, at least to me as a child. Yeah. So now I still collect, and I still like to, you know, trade or whatever you want to call it. And we're all right here now, currently we're here hanging out at the swap meet. You know, we're all here together selling some toys, and also we exchange some stuff, and still to this day just talk about what we like. And it's still a great passion of mine, and I often take my kids with me and we go toy hunting and try to pass it on to them, because once I'm gone, either they're going to sell my stuff or they're going to keep it, one or another. So one of the things that, even to this day, that right now that kind of cracks me up is I'll get home from maybe like a find or something, or I got home one day and I ended up finding a bunch of the Captain America figures. So I had that, and I had a couple other Star Wars things that I had found. And my son, Aiden, he's 9 years old, we're having dinner, and he looks at me and goes, "You know what, I'll be back, I gotta go get something." All right. So he comes back up and he has a Star Wars ship. And he goes, "I think I'm gonna take this for myself now." I'm like, wow. You know, I don't think I've ever had that type of luck where I just kind of go downstairs into my dad's stuff and say, you know,
take his shit.
Yeah, let me go pick something out, you know, for myself, you know. But one of the things to me, though, it's no matter what or how old he's going to be, he's always going to remember that time where he says, you know, my dad, he was selling toys, and we collected stuff, but I always got to go downstairs, and he would always pick something up, you know? So the only one I had to tell him no was, he goes, "I think I need to open up one of those Cap figures that you have." You know, real calmly, I'm like, "No, I don't think you do, you know? Those are, we're gonna sell those." So, I mean, it's real fun, you know, that my kids, they still, you know, play with toys and physically, and it cracks me up. But it's fun, I love it, and it's good to actually have, you know, my sons involved in something that I really like also.
Definitely. What are some of the, like, the best hunting stories or a best haul or something, a good experience?
Oh, you know what, here's a funny one. So right now my youngest son, he likes Godzilla right now. So he wants a couple of Godzilla figures. So we went to, yesterday I worked, after work I said, all right, I'm gonna go get the kids, we're gonna go grocery shopping, because I always take my boys with me. And after that, we're gonna go to Walmart, we'll go to Target, and if not, we'll go to GameStop to see if we can find something. So we didn't find anything, but when we did get to GameStop, we walked in and I was looking for some Godzilla figures. We didn't find any. And then we were also looking for War Machine for my older son, who wanted War Machine. And we're like, well, all right, well, they don't have it. So Aiden, my 9-year-old, he goes, "Hey, you guys, come here. You guys are gonna owe me for this one." So he walks around and he finds them in a enclosed glass case, which is kind of, it's like on the lower shelf.
Yeah.
So we walked right by him, and in there they had all these figures. So he's telling me, he goes, "You guys owe me." I said, "No, not really, because I'm going to pay for them. So you guys owe me, you know."
You can also tell me about one of the best Comic-Con hauls, or like one of your best Comic-Con experiences.
That's too. Like, the Comic-Con's coming up. Is there anything that you are like waiting for? Or you, you
so So this is actually the first year I didn't get a ticket.
Oh, okay.
And I've gone to last past 12 or more years.
Yeah.
It's to me, Comic-Con, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
I dislike the lottery system for autographs and for different things. I mean, I've done the urban camping, like I've slept on the sidewalk just to get inside early enough to try to win a ticket for autograph posters or anything. And to me, that, you know, that was just part of the rush, you know, of trying to get in there, or you find or get a deal on a certain exclusive that you want, right? So I remember back in the day, we used to go home with like 8 to 10 bags of swag. Posters, yeah. Watches, t-shirts, hats.
They used to give out a bunch of shit.
They would give out figures. You know, I would remember getting Green Lantern figures, Smallville figures. Getting into Lego was, you know, you had a real good chance to win. You know, we got a few Lego figures. And now it's like, I feel that it's turned to, it's almost near impossible to try to get something out. And so to me, it's very, I find it's, I'm not as hurt as I probably would have been, because the last couple of years it was a little bit discouraging. People fighting, arguing, yelling that you cut, or
the Funko line, bro. Fuck.
You know, Funko. Yeah, Funko.
That was
even bad, you know.
I remember when I saw you there that you were telling me, well, because I went inside and I saw the Funko line to get in there.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, bro, there's still another line on the outside too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I was like,
that's in the morning. That's in the morning, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That's in the morning. But before, it was all fair game. Like, you could fucking just go in there, sleep, wake up in the morning. And then they would start moving you around 7 in the morning, start letting you into the convention center. And from there, you could go up to the sales pavilion and get stuff. And it was all fair game. Like, it was first come, first serve, you know. Even though there was already people sometimes, because they would take the people that were handicapped or, like, the vendors, los que ya estaban allá abajo, they would go up there and they would get stuff too. But so sometimes you would be, but it wasn't as hard, you know. It was still, if you slept there on time, you would be able to get something. The last couple of years, it turned into like fucking madness, dude. Where people like, fuck, dude. I literally, one time on Funko, like 2 years ago, some dude got, because when you got there in the beginning, like if you were the first ones to get there, you got into this little fucking line, but it was narrow. Try to make fucking 15, 20 people trying to go at the same time into that little narrow space.
Yeah.
Some guy got fucking pissed, started fucking screaming, pushing. Like, people almost fucking, they almost closed down the line because people were gonna get in a fight, dude. It was just fucking crazy. But further along, did you want to say any of the Comic-Con halls or anything?
You know what? Some of the really good things that back in the day, you know, we were able to get all the Star Wars stuff that we wanted.
Yeah.
A lot of the exclusive Lego sets, Hallmarks, ornaments to, you know, to resell.
Yeah.
To kind of be able to refund your spendings.
Yeah.
Autographs. Some of the great ones that I really enjoyed was getting Game of Thrones posters autographed from the cast.
Yeah.
True Blood, if anybody had like True Blood. We were there for the last season, and we got a cast signing for that. Sons of Anarchy. What else? And we got a few others. But it was good to just kind of like, it was the hype to, you know, we got these bands, we're going to go get these posters autographed. And going to, also another thing was also good was after parties. So we got to go to like the IMAX party. We went to some of the Spider-Man meetups. And those were really awesome too.
Did you meet a lot of celebrities?
I met a few. There was one day when Game of Thrones had just first came out. And I was walking outside behind Hall H. I can't remember the actor's name, but it was the guy who plays Hodor. So he was in the back and he was just walking around and nobody knew who he was. And I saw him and I was like, holy shit. So I walked up to him and I, you know, said hello. I took a photo with him. And I was like, you know, I was like, dang, this guy, he's huge. I think his hand probably covered like about like a quarter of my shoulder, or like the whole thing almost, which is was pretty crazy. Another time I just walked into Comic-Con on preview night, and Robert Kirkman was just kind of right there hanging out, and I was able to go up and talk to him. I took a photo also with him. Andy Serkis, also same thing. And it was, you know, you just kind of, you know who these people are, and, you, and I guess I was just lucky at the time.
You ever met any asshole celebrities? Not really an asshole, but like, you know, people like...
You know what? I think the only guy who really didn't talk to me, I can't remember his name. He played Hercules.
Oh, the guy,
Christopher...
The guy from the 90s with the long hair?
Yeah.
I can't. I know who you're talking about. I just don't know his name. But so he used to come out with Xena, right?
Yeah, so I went to go say hi, and he was kind of ignoring me and everything, and I was like, ah, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
You know, so I was pissed off, but at the same point in time, I was like, well, if I'm one, he probably gets like all day, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, whether to be pissed off at him or kind of say, you know, ah, screw it, you know?
Like, the way I see it right now, I guess, is like, you never know what that person is going through, like, in their life, you know, 100%, because they might be there, but, you know, they could have lost a loved one or X, Y, Z, you know? They could be hungover, could have lost a family member, something, you know? So I don't take it too personal. It just sucks because you try to get to meet somebody that you actually, like, admire. Well, at least it just depends, you know, on the person. But
and I understand that. And another great one was when we were at General Giant, and that was the time when we saw Andy Serkis. And he was actually there buying some stuff for his son. And I was telling my son who he was. And so we kind of wanted to get a photo with him. And so we kind of waited. And I was kind of like, maybe not, because he's with his kid. And I was, you know, you get to that point, he's doing his family time, right? But it was cool because at the end, he called us over. And we got a photo with him. And other people were kind of saw who he was. And then they were kind of like, hey, let's take a photo. But he didn't take a photo with anybody else. But I admire how he took the time to get a photo of myself and my son.
He kind
of
noticed that you guys had been waiting.
So, you know, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, so that was one of the good things. We've met also the actress who does the voice for Ahsoka.
From Star Wars.
And she was cool. She took a photo with us, and she autographed one of her buttons, gave it to my son. So that was cool.
I know that your main thing is Star Wars. I don't think you went into too much detail how that passion came about, but why the love of Star Wars?
You know, when growing up, first of all, just kind of watching the movies at first, it kind of blows you away, like, wow. I mean, who didn't love the fucking Millennium Falcon, X-Wing fighter, or, you know, here comes this guy, he's a Jedi, and he could do all this stuff, you know? And at that time, you know, it was cool. So, growing up, I had a friend, and he had the X-Wing fighter and the Star Wars figures, and I got to play, you know, as a kid, go play with this, you know, this guy, and we play, you know, Star Wars. Well, when I was growing up, you know, unfortunately, we were too privileged enough. So, I ended up getting it was a skate pod. That's what I was bought. So, that was my Star Wars toy. So after that, it was, you know, that's what I had, and I wish I still had it, because that's what kind of really started it. And from then, you know, I said to myself, kind of like, you know, once I'm older, I'll be able to, you know, buy some stuff. So I remember buying the first few things were I bought for myself and for my son, because my son, he liked Star Wars also. And so I was, it's like, hey, this is something that we could do together. So I would continue to buy toys here and there, get deals, and one way or another, just deals, actually, it kind of like fell into my lap, and
you want to sell the heads on that?
Things I didn't want to, you know, I kind of wanted to pursue. I had a second son, and he liked Star Wars also. But my 9-year-old, his favorite ones are A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, which is kind of weird because a lot of the newer kids, like the last ones that came out.
Yeah.
So we all have in my house, wow, I couldn't even tell you how many figures we have. I know easily we have over 50 vehicles.
I've only seen like the tidbit, you know, like the tip of the iceberg when I went one time, and you had a bunch of vehicles, a bunch of like Predator stuff from your son, and like a bunch of other Star Wars stuff, but I'm pretty sure I didn't even get to see like, not even,
for later.
One
third.
We have Predators, Star Wars, Marvel Legends, a little bit of Godzilla right now. I mean, and I still have comic books. I still buy once in a while also. And it's like I said, it's pretty crazy. But you know, it's something that
the cap.
The 30. And it's something that is, like I said, it's something that me and my kids will always like. All of us going to Comic-Con back in the day, taking my kids, and all of us going to the Star Wars area, taking photos in the booth that they had set up. I mean, it's real cool, and it's something that I love that,
you can,
again, my
could
kids...
become like some sort of tradition or something that they can pass along to their kids, right?
Yeah, and you know, and hopefully they'll be able to say, you know, I remember doing this with my dad, you know?
Yeah.
And it's... because once... there's going to be a lot of toys left over, that's for sure. Like I said, we have so much stuff, and I'll post some photos of some of the stuff that we have. But it's, like I said, it's crazy, but then it's something that, you know, sometimes words don't describe the feeling that
you appreciate.
I appreciate
it so much. Yeah, I get it, man. Yeah, that's pretty cool, because, you know, it's something that you cherish, and it's something that's special in your heart, you know, and this. And it's, I feel like that's important that you recognize that, because you're trying to at least try to leave some sort of legacy or something for your family, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's you know, also telling them, you know, going to Comic-Con is not easy.
Yeah.
And my kids have gone to Comic-Con more than 5 times. So, you know, telling them, hey.
It keeps you humble, you know? Like, I didn't have this when I was little, you know? Like, this privilege that you have, like, don't take it for granted, because you never know, you know? Like...
that's true.
Yeah,
it's so very true.
I think that's how you. I think that's kind of like where you're trying to get across too. Like, don't take stuff for granted, and like, you know, because
enjoy what you have, what you're doing. Enjoy,
you know,
life. And
like, me and my family, we've gone into the Comic-Con maybe like 2 or 3 times, but we've been going like every year. Well, we started in like 2010, but we've been going like every year. But we make it a family thing, and we go outside and do whatever you can outside, and you know, and that's the thing. Just it doesn't matter if you can't go in, like, you can still do stuff outside and just, you know, take your family and just, you know, have a day of it. You know, that's, you know, that's the way I see it. It's good. It's good.
Like, I don't think I would have ever imagined when I was little, probably going to college. I didn't even know about it until I was in high school. You know, so it was like something that I kind of needed to do for myself, because I know my mom wasn't gonna fucking buy me tickets or like shit, you know, like, especially when I started going out. I think I was like 18 or 19, so I had barely gotten a job. I was like, fuck it, the next year that I get to go, I'm gonna have to pay for my tickets, because I really want to go, you know, like, and it feels good to be able to pay for your own stuff and not depend like on anybody, you know. So it's like, but like you said, I'm always appreciative that I can do it, because I don't think, like, I wouldn't be able to afford it if I was little, you know, or my parents wouldn't be able to afford it, that's for sure.
And I think that's, like, you hit it, you bite it yourself,
yeah.
You know, it's more of a value to
yeah.
You know,
because
mm-hmm. you know you worked hard for it,
yeah.
Either anything you buy, either it's your tickets
yeah.
or an exclusive or... you busted your butt for it, you know?
All right, fellas, I gotta get going, but I'm gonna leave you here in good hands with these guys. Juan, I appreciate you coming and appreciate you doing the podcast with us.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you, Javier.
Thank you, Javier. Bro, I think you can buy glasses on eBay too.
So,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about, like, anything in general, or, like, your kids, what do they like now that they're collecting and stuff?
right now, so between both kids, it kind of depends. Both of them like Star Wars, Marvel Legends. My older son, Predators.
Have you gotten pulled into any of those lines because of them?
You know what? I was buying Star Wars and I was also buying Predator.
Okay.
So I had a huge collection that I had, and my son also, my oldest son, we watched the Predator movies together, and he also said, "Oh wow, you know, his favorite one was the Celtic Predator."
Okay.
So that was one of the things that we had looked for I couldn't tell you how long, because we didn't want to pay a high end price for it because it was pretty pricey at the time. Luckily, they had reissued it. We got one. And we ended up I couldn't tell you, we just accumulated so many Predators.
I remember I saw a tote, like more than half of it full of Predators, bro, at his house.
Yeah. So we had anything from like when the line first started coming out again.
Yeah.
And they had, who was it?
Alien versus Predator, no? The Kenner.
We had Alien versus Predator, not the Kenner, it was after Kenner. So we had the Alien versus Predator.
It was all the NECA stuff that first came out.
Yeah, it was pretty much all NECA.
Yeah. He has a bunch of that at his house.
So we had a tub, and we also had we used to have a few of the large figures.
Yeah.
And then I ended up selling those, and then we just kind of cycled through a little bit. So it might be 1 week they're playing with Marvel Legends. The next week we're out there with upstairs, we're fighting with either the gauntlet and also one of the swords, or we're doing all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty funny. So the last 2 days, actually, when I got in the evening time, we'll bust out the lightsabers and we'll actually duke it out. So that's pretty funny.
That since I was a kid, bro.
But he has the FX ones. Is that the ones that you guys use though?
No, not the FX ones, but we bought the ones from they're the electronic ones, of course, okay. But not the...
Yeah,
we bought the $30 one.
Yeah.
You know? So if we bust them, I mean, it's not a big deal.
They still make sounds and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Even after the chingosses, yeah, they still do.
They still work.
So apart from that, I'll get the gauntlet glove, and then Aiden will get either Stormbreaker or Mjolnir, and we'll start fighting him with that. Or what he does now, he has a little Captain America shield, so he'll take that and he'll take Mjolnir, and he'll pretend like he's Cap right there. And he's throwing chingazos on me with the gauntlet, you know?
I can see Juan con la escoba, bro, spinning it like this. And I can see his son in the air.
So that's another important thing for me also, you know? Playing with my kids that way.
You know, you talk about this, and I'm going to tell you guys something. When I was a little boy, bro, my sensei was my mom. Because my dad was pretty much... I was a ninja when I was a little boy, dude. I don't know if you know. But I used to play like that with my mom. I used to dress up as a ninja and she would be my instructor, bro. And me and my mom would fight it out, bro. And I must have been like 6 or 7, you know.
What did she tell you, bro?
Nothing, bro. My mom went along with it, bro.
But what would she tell you? How do you have to hit her? Like, did she tell you to try to jab?
Es de verdad porque sacó el cinto. That's the first thing. Tengo cansada. But I'll play with you. My mom would play with me, bro. My dad worked 2 jobs, bro. Llegaba de construcción, he'd go work at McDonald's, bro, and then for 2 hours more, he would work Dunkin' Donuts.
Damn.
My dad actually worked at the McDonald's in San Isidro, the one with the massacre. He had quit a year.
Prior.
And he was working at the Dunkin' Donuts next door when that shit happened.
Damn. That shit is crazy.
But you know that.
Yeah.
See, you know exactly what your dad did and what the sacrifices, and you know, your mom stepped in and
course.
She did
never,
that, you know?
I've always told my dad, you know, rest in peace, my dad. I don't ever blame you for anything I ever went through. Nothing. I thank you for everything you've ever done for me.
Yeah, and then, you know,
you don't ever have to feel that I have something against you, my mom, that you guys work. It's made me a stronger person.
Yeah, because
I don't blame nobody.
Growing up in my family, my dad, I'll tell you, my dad was, he was an asshole. Yeah. So, I don't know if I was probably like one of the few Mexican kids that, when we got in trouble, my dad gave us 2 choices. My dad would look at us and say, okay, ¿quieres un chingazos ¿O quieres que te ponen a limpiar afuera?
Yo quería los chingazos.
So,
yeah, bro.
Well, I said, you know what? We'll work outside.
So I was scared, bro. My dad
so,
would be mad.
We'll go outside, and my dad would put us on one side of the house, and we had all dirt. Give us a push broom and said, here, I want you to sweep the dirt. How the fuck you sweep the dirt? You know? So we get on one side, and we're with the push broom, we're like leveling out the dirt, pulling the little holes, and that was the punishment, right?
That was.
So, I mean, and you think you were done, you know, like, all right, here, I'll get this done for maybe a half hour or whatever, right?
Yeah, both
of that. Oh, once you're done with that, he goes, all right, you know, go clean the garage. What the fuck? That wasn't part of the deal, you know? But, you know, it was that, and it was crazy because, you know, on the weekends, you know, my dad was, his trade was, he used to weld security bars. And so that's what he did. And when we used to come home from school, we would come home and he would say, you guys have homework? No. Okay, he goes, okay, afuera cabrones. And we would go outside and my dad would have, in the backyard, we would have it set up where we're cutting flat bar or he had already welded some security bars together. We're getting paint thinner and wiping them down.
Yeah.
And you know, we're coming from in elementary. So we're doing all this. And then on the weekends, he would say, all right, we're gonna go do an install. So we were little kids holding up the bars against the window. My dad's drilling holes, putting in the bolts and then grinding them down so they can't take them out. And, you know, we were doing all this stuff. So we would do that, or it was Saturday morning. People would, you know, wake up, watch Super Friends or something. My dad would be like, you know what? Nope, outside. You guys are working. So, what he instilled in us was, you know, hey,
work
yeah. is Support. You gotta work.
Yeah.
And even to this day, you know, doesn't matter the long hours I have to do or anything else or sacrifices for my family, you know what, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
And so that I recognize what he had instilled into me for this day. So now with my kids, the thing that I try to do the best thing for them is make sure your grades are good. And if you don't have good grades, then you know what? I'll find you something to do.
Yeah.
Because if probably they would have done the same thing, like, you don't encourage grades or anything like that, you know what? None of that was done in my household. So my path, I'm happy for the path that I'm on right now and what it was.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that, at least for my kids, that their path will finding their education and doing everything, they'll be able to learn what to do.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, I guess it just depends on them. You know, I think you should focus more on seeing what makes them happy and, like, what career makes them happy, you know, because you don't want them to go to college and then just fucking fool around or, you know, because a lot of people do that. You know, and it's like money that's gone to waste. So it's just, I think you just have deep conversations with your son about what is like their true dream job or something, you know, and then like try to help them from there. If there's a school, then go to that school. And if school is not necessary, because there's a lot of jobs that are coming out that are just like school's not gonna help you get a degree because they haven't made a school for that, you know? Like, all this technology that's coming out is just fucking crazy. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. Because education was, like, a priority as you were growing up, you know? For a lot of people. Not only for, like, not for your family, maybe, but, like, for a lot of the kids that were probably in your generations or the generations after, like, school was the only option or, like, the way out, you know?
True.
But you can also show them how to sell, you know? Like, your dad showed you how to do the welding stuff. You can show them a side thing, and then if they like that more than... And if they're happy, I don't think it should, you know?
Yeah. It's true. And it's a good point. It's... Like I said, it's important for me that their, you know, education is good. And I'm very lucky that Nicholas is actually doing good at school.
Yeah.
Aiden's probably more like me. He's the more of a knucklehead. So, I mean, that's probably the one that I'll have to worry about.
Yeah.
But other words than that, I feel like I'm very fortunate and very lucky that my kids are doing okay.
Yeah. That's pretty cool because, a lot of people, especially in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and I'm pretty sure like the neighborhood that you grew up, I'm not sure like what area that you grew up in, but like we grew up in gang related or like violent, like there was a lot of violence, you know, Logan Heights and Skyline and all that stuff. So it's like I see a lot of the kids in this from those areas, and even I work at a school right now, and it's just fucking crazy.
Their mentality is so different, right?
Yeah, like from one for another, but it applies. There's different things that applies to every different, not because you're rich also, or anything.
It involves the parents, bro. Yeah. It does. It's that mentality, bro. I mean, I had an example, you know, and that's where I live at. I was standing outside with the kids, and the kids were playing, you know? And me and my wife were doing laundry, and we were watching the kids play. And their mentality was wow, it was so different. I was like, wow, at that age, you know, I wanted to be a cop when you played cops and robbers.
Yeah.
You know, and these kids, bro, they wanted to be the robbers. And the cop, nobody wanted to be the cop, bro. And that, you know, that made my wife, you know, like, oh, wait, what are we doing? Like, you know, we got to get out of here. You know, it's changing slowly, but unfortunately, those are the cards that some of us are given, bro.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah.
You just gotta try to give our kids the best.
You can't choose your parents or none of that stuff. You know, you come with what you have, and you do what you can with it, and if not, then it's just gets hard, you know. But I don't know if you have anything else to say.
You know what? Not off the top of my head. I probably have like a million other things I could say. I'll probably save it for another chapter.
Yeah, we can definitely do another one. We should do a live session or something at your place when you get it all organized or something, or if you want to do like some small setup or something.
Yeah, definitely do that one day. Definitely would like to share and point out some of the things that I have and all the story behind them.
All right, guys. Well, with that episode, it was episode 16. This was Eduardo Pineda,
Benjamin,
and Juan Bravo.
All right, guys, have a good one. Peace.